and speaks of God as a jealous God. He is a consuming fire because he's jealous over his own glory. And when we look at the cross, we see just how jealous God is over his perfections in the fact that he would send his own son to die and to take that wrath upon himself through Christ so that we might live. And then there's the great mercy of God. And I'm glad he ended with mercy and not with wrath, aren't you? Because when we talk about the wrath of God, that's where we need to go, to the mercy of God in Christ on the cross. Turn again to Acts chapter 22. And I want to look at one more thing this evening related to Paul's personal defense of grace. And that will be found beginning in verse 17 of Acts chapter 22, verse 17. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance and saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he may know wherewith they cried so against him. So the last thing I want to look at this evening for a few moments is the purpose of grace. The purpose of grace. What is God's purpose of grace as it relates to the nations? Now, whenever you read the word Gentiles in the Bible, you should always think of ethnic, because the Greek word is ethnos, which we get our English word ethnic. I think sometimes we don't think that. Maybe you think of Gentiles as white middle class America. It's not. It's ethnic. An ethnic group is a group separated, a group of people that's separated by culture, by color of skin, by foods they eat, foods maybe that you would never eat, maybe sushi. Now, some of you I know probably like that. I'm not one of those people. Seaweed. I've met some Koreans that eat seaweed and other things that would crawl around if they were still alive. I've seen that in my life. Or maybe Polish sausage or things with curry all over it and in the Indian country. And all these different things that we know separate us culturally, and even languages that's separates a culture. Languages that we can't speak, but languages nonetheless that separate the nations, the ethnic groups. Maybe you thought Gentiles just meant English-speaking people. So every time you see the word Gentile in the Bible, you need to think ethnic, ethnos. And then you start to see the purpose of God's grace in a much broader spectrum than maybe you would think, seeing that we're all here sort of white, middle-class American, right? So I wonder if sometimes we're like the Jews. Now, I want you to see what made them so furious. Verse 22, and they gave him audience unto this word. They were listening. I mean, he spoke Hebrew, talked about being a Jew. He learned at the feet of Gamaliel. Everything was sort of okay. They were really ready to listen to him for a while until he said one word, that Jesus sent him far to the ethnic groups. And now they wanted him dead again. I wonder if sometimes we have lost sight of the purpose of grace and how God aims in his purpose to paint with various colors among the ethnic groups of the world. Now, this doesn't mean you go sell your house and move off to some country, some distant island and be a missionary. That's not what we're calling for here. But it's seeing things differently, just walking downtown the streets of Huntsville and encountering different people groups and what your attitude toward those people groups are. Do you ever at times become standoffish and sort of have a bent in a way that's not good towards different people groups because they have different colors, they eat different foods, they speak different languages. But when you see the purpose of grace in God's perspective, you don't need to see other people groups like that. Now, why were the Jews so upset? Because from their perspective, they had the exclusive rights on God. And in a way, it was true, right? For many, many thousands of years, they were it. So when Paul is found in the temple by the unbelieving Jews of Asia, which probably may have seen him the 3 years he was in Ephesus, because Trophimus was an Ephesian, and they saw him and they supposed that Paul brought him into the temple. He didn't. What did they say? Paul speaking against the people. America. American exceptionalism. The Jews is what he's talking about. He's speaking about the law. See, that was their means of self-righteousness. Surely, we're in good graces with God. We have the law and the temple. I mean, the temple meant everything. It was their claim to fame. It was what? It was good to be a Jew. I mean, the temple, the ceremonies, the law, and everything. So they were the kingdom people. And as kingdom people, they just pushed everybody out. So when the purpose of grace came to light through the apostle to the Gentiles, they so rejected it, they wanted him dead. What was that purpose? This is bigger, much bigger than white middle class Americans. In fact, it didn't even start with us. We are way down the line from the starting place of the whole plan of God. Because it started with the Jew first, then to the Greek. See, you're second at best and probably way down the line. But there's this mindset at times that it's really everybody that looks like us, that likes to do the same things as us, that like to have the same standards in their household that we have. Of course, I'm talking about anything that's not in the Bible that you and I may do to try to make things work at home. That speak the same way we do and dress the same way we do and like the same hobbies we do. We need to break that mindset. And start thinking in terms of God's purpose of grace. Now, Paul was wanting them to see how much he cared and wanted to continue to speak to the Jewish people. But he said, when Jesus told me to get out of Jerusalem, they wouldn't receive Paul's testimony concerning Christ, as if he sort of debated with the Lord. He said to the Lord, Lord, they know I imprisoned and beat in every city, synagogue, them that believed on thee. If anybody's going to believe your testimony, it's these people, because they would understand I was going one direction and just, boop, all of a sudden, I'm going another. They know what I did. And furthermore, they know that when your martyr Stephen was killed, I was standing by, consenting, having pleasure in his death, and I kept the raiment and I guarded it of them that slew him. And in Jerusalem, they all knew that. So Paul, rightly thinking from the human perspective, as we would, and this was okay, says, if anybody's going to believe the testimony, if I'm going to witness to anybody, these people know that what happened to me was something other than the fact that I said, you know, I think I want to be an apostle to the Gentiles. He wants them to know that. And then Jesus said to him, depart. It was his commission to be an apostle to the Gentiles. So the purpose of grace as it relates to the Jews was that Jesus first came to confirm under the circumcision, to be a servant to the circumcision, to confirm the promises of God made to the fathers, to patriarchs. So he came first for the truth of God to do that. So he came to the Jewish people. Now, John chapter 1, verse 12 says, he came into his own and his own received him not. Jesus says, they're not going to receive your testimony concerning me. Now, Jesus' purpose among the Jews, he came into Jerusalem first through Pentecost, and there was a large number believing. But then when that played out, Paul was sent to the Gentiles because it was the Jew first in the plan of God and the purpose of grace. Then it was to ethnic groups. And the Jews just couldn't relate to that. We don't want these people included. We don't want any color skin. We don't want any other languages. We want Hebrew-speaking people, or at least Greek-speaking, the Jews that were dispersed, and we want them to be Jews. So the Gentiles have to become Jews. They even struggled with that in the church. There was such conflict at times between them. So he came in his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even as many that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man. Wasn't born by bloodline. Jews tried to claim that. We have Abraham, our father. Jesus said, if your father was Abraham, you would love me. John the Baptist said, say not that you have your father's Abraham, the bloodline. And so John says it's not of bloodline. So it doesn't matter who your ancestors are. It's not of the will of flesh. It's not because you decide by natural means to be born again. Now, Abraham and Sarah tried that. So we're going to have Ishmael. And God said, it's not going to be Ishmael. In Isaac shall thy seed be called, because Isaac was not born by natural reproduction. It wasn't their choice. It was God's choice. That's sovereign grace. So, it's not the will of flesh, nor the will of man. It's not decisional regeneration. You don't decide to get born again. You don't decide to get regenerated. It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. What is it? Verse 13. But it is of God. So the people of God that were elect among the Jews, the apostles were sent first, and believers sprang up in Jerusalem and they started growing. And then when the purpose of God concerning the Jews started to get smaller and smaller, and even now where Paul is, it's still trickling. And even today among the Jews, there's trickling of believers. But by and large, it's the day of the Gentiles, according to Romans chapter 11, till the fullness of the Gentiles come in. We're in the day of the ethnic groups. We're in the day of the nations. Then all Israel future shall be saved. So right now, Paul is telling them it was not the purpose of Jesus. The reason they won't receive his testimony is because Jesus is no longer doing his work at this moment in Jerusalem by and large, in large numbers like he was in Acts 2. Why? It's the time of the Gentiles. We're living in the time of the ethnic groups. So what does that mean? In God's plan and purpose, we need to see multicolored. We need to see multifaceted. We need to have eyes that see through the lens of grace so we approach people of different color, of different appetites, who like different foods. We don't conclude that somehow because they are more base than us or somehow beneath our culture, that somehow they're far removed from the grace of God. When in fact God is telling us something altogether different. Now remember, they were really upset because they felt themselves to be exclusive and somehow in a favor status of God, that nobody else would be included. And that's why they became so angry. So I want you to turn to some verses that would tell us about God's plan, Old Testament and New, concerning the people groups. Psalm 96 is the first place we go. And the psalmist there is going to tell us why, in part, God's purpose of grace, even in the Old Testament, he was looking beyond the Jews. I mean, over and over in Isaiah, to the Gentiles, there shall be a light to spring up among the Gentiles, nations, ethnic groups. So Psalm 96, beginning in verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. Now, it was the purpose of Israel all throughout the Old Testament to make God's glory known among the people groups of the earth. At Mount Zion, it was to be the city of the living God, and they were to declare the glory of God among the heathen. Part of it by their way of living, separate and distinct. Part of it by an actual declaration of the God of glory. So, make his wonders known among all people. That goes beyond the Jews into the Gentiles, the heathen. Why? Verse 4. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. The answer to God's purpose of grace concerning the declaration of his glory among all people groups is because God is great and his purpose of grace is greatly to be praised. Do you know that in Ephesians 1, we get the refrain or the chorus over and over to the praise of the glory of his grace that Paul is aiming at Jew and Gentile in chapter 2? To the praise of the glory of his grace. He's chosen us before the foundation of the world that we should be to the praise of the glory of his grace, both Jew and Gentile, both Jew and ethnic groups in one church. Not separate churches. Now, that's fine. If you go to India, they're going to be people of the same skin color, primarily in the same church, because that's predominantly what lives there. But we should not demand that at all. If this church were multicolored, this would be wonderful. It'd just be a manifestation of the purpose of grace. Now, I'm not condoning affirmative action in the kingdom of God. That's not what this is about. So we might make sure we have so many people groups. We just need to think differently about God's purpose as it relates to the Gentiles. For the Lord is great, and louder He's to be praised. That's the word greatly, what it means. It means vehemently and louder. God's aim in claiming the nations, people out of the nations, is that His glory would get louder and louder. If it's just us four and no more, if it's just you as people, if it's just one people group, it's not very loud, is it? And God is not seen as very great. You see what He's after? His aim is to reveal His greatness in a multicolored, multifaceted purpose of grace, which declares louder and louder and louder from different people groups, different ethnic groups, different nations, His glory. What that means for us is when we pass Arab people and people of different skin colors and backgrounds, we should not think of them because they're different. Because they're not like us. There's no way they could fit in here. There's no way that they could be part of this. We then become like the Jews. You know, the kingdom is about our people, our law, our temple. Our people, what we do here, our church, and our exclusivity. But that's not the purpose. So we see God's aiming at His glory being declared louder and louder. And when He paints the beautiful mosaic with the multiple colors of people from all nations, then His glory is displayed more loudly. He's already glorious. We don't make Him glorious. But it is seen, it is displayed in the many people groups. So this psalm tells us why. For the Lord is great. Now, fast forward to the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 3. And Paul is speaking to the Jew and Gentile, primarily to the Gentile, because he keeps telling the Gentile, now don't be high-minded about this in Ephesians 2 and Romans chapter 11. You should fear. You've been grafted in by the grace of God, lest He graft you out. Romans chapter 11. Ephesians 2, you should remember that you were alienated from God and you were without God in the world. You were not part of the commonwealth of Israel. Regard to the Old Testament. But now, both Jew and Gentile, same church. And that means Jew and ethnic groups. All believers, same church. Same bride. Same family. We're all part of the same family. So listen to Paul in Ephesians chapter 3. He's still unpacking this reality of the mystery of God as it appeared in the Old Testament, but now revealed through the holy prophets and the apostles. Paul being one of them. So he said, let's get in verse 5. Which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs in of many different bodies. If you're looking down, you know that I didn't get that right. Of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. So we should be using the gospel for the ethnic groups, not just white people, not just people that eat hamburgers and french fries. I like that. That's good. Those that eat sushi, wherever they are, same body, ethnic groups, all partakers. That includes us. We're the ethnic people. We're not Jews. Partakers of the promise by the gospel, whereof. This is what Paul is telling Jews in Acts 23 or 22. Whereof I am made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Verse 8. Now here's how Paul as a Jew didn't have the Jew mindset. He did. It's like no Gentiles here, but now he's changed. What happened? Verse 8. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given. Isn't that the problem? See, some of the racial tension in our history is not because we see ourselves as less than the least of all saints. In fact, we see ourselves as the best of the most of all saints. And surely above those people, right? Isn't that part of the problem? Paul, a Jew, could then look at his ethnic brothers and say, I'm just less than the least of all saints. You people are much higher than I am. That's how he could stand on the stairs of a castle and minister the gospel and the word of God, his own testimony, to people that hated him and wanted him dead. Why? Because Paul was less than the least of all saints. Beloved, we need to cultivate that mindset. You won't walk past anybody in Huntsville that's different than you and have a superiority idea about yourself when you think like Paul. I'm just less than the least of all saints is this grace given to me that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all men see, I'm in verse 9 of chapter 3 of Ephesians, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Mystery meaning it just wasn't revealed. Not some esoteric knowledge or mysterious thing. It's a mystery. God had not revealed it. Now the mystery is known. Jew and Gentile, same body, partakers of the same gospel. To make all men see what is the fellowship of this mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Here's the purpose of grace. Verse 10, put your finger on it, or your eyes. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by, which means through the church. Through the church, these principalities, powers, angels are seeing something. Angels in heavenly places, it's being known to them through the church, the manifold wisdom of God. Underscore, circle, manifold. Means variegated, multifaceted, multicolored, multi-ethnic groups. He's talking about nations. What's God's aim? What's His purpose of grace in the church? That the display of His manifold wisdom would be seen as His grace and His glory and His greatness gets louder and louder and louder among the people groups of the earth, not just among us. Now, again, if there are churches of different people groups and colors and nations that worship together, that's okay. I'm talking about a mindset and how we view people that are not like us. And how would you view people that would come here that's not like us and they eat sushi or eat other things? See, God is painting with a very broad brush, and He aims that the praise to the glory of His grace, which is chapter 1 of this book, be seen and displayed in a church where God's manifold wisdom is on display. And in verse 11, that's according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, when Paul in Romans 11 is going to say, oh, the depths both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, and here he says the manifold wisdom of God, do you know the context is the same? Because what's he doing in Romans 11? Jew, Gentile. And then he just burst out in doxology. Oh, the depth of the wisdom of God. Ephesians 3:10. To the intent that the wisdom of God may be displayed through the church in a manifold way. And that's what he's doing in Romans 11 too. So we're talking about a paradigm shift of our mindset. Oh, beloved, if you think that you're different than other people because of American exceptionalism, I think I know what people mean by that and understand that. And I'm thankful to live here. I'm not asking the Lord to ship me anywhere else, you understand. But we do not have a one-upmanship on God because we live in this country because of our skin color. We don't. In fact, Paul in Romans 3, in Romans 11, he would say to the Jew first, what, are we better than they are? But yeah, that's what they thought. That's what they thought in Acts 22. He said, no, we have before both proved, both Jew and Gentile, or as Titus said, all under sin. See, I don't care what the skin color, the nationality, you were dead in sins. That means you were on the rock bottom of the ocean and everybody was there beside you. Whatever the skin color, whatever the sin, whatever it was, all on the same floor. There wasn't tears to your depravity. There are different levels of expression of that depravity, as we heard about men that would kill with no conscience, and people that don't kill. There's different degrees of the expression of that depravity, but our depravity is total. Not degrees, it's just total. We're just as bad off as we can get. So Paul says, there's no difference. Romans chapter 10. There's no difference. The same Lord is rich upon all that call upon Him. There's no difference, which means to be more excellent than somebody else. The Jewish people, you're not more excellent over the Gentile. And the Gentiles, you're not more excellent over the Jews. And the ethnic groups, you're not more excellent You're not exceptional when it comes to God and how He views us in the purpose of grace. And then lastly, 1 Peter chapter 2. And I want you to see where Peter is going to apply the purpose of the Hebrew nation to the Christian church. And that purpose of grace and what the aim is, which the Jews failed in, and through Christ Jesus, who's the head of the church, bringing all people groups into the same body by the gospel. Now God's plan is through the church, or through churches on the face of the earth, that now His manifold grace and wisdom would be displayed through these people with 100 different opinions and 100 different ways of living. And even in this group of people, which are, you know, sort of alike, and we like some of the same things. Just think about how many different opinions and hobbies and activities, just all different here. But coming together in the same body for one purpose. So Peter says this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Notice the language typically related to Israel in the Old Testament. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, a purchased people. Now God used this language with Israel. You'll be my peculiar treasure. You're chosen by me. You're my holy priesthood. You're my holy nation to be my peculiar treasure. A people of God's very own, a purchased possession. Why? That you should show forth the praises, or we could say as Psalm 96, the greatness of Him who hath called you out of the darkness into His marvelous light. Verse 10. Now we're talking about Gentiles, which in time past, you were not a people. You weren't the people of God, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Now, in the Old Testament, it appeared that only the Jews were the people of God. So he's looking back saying, you know, in the mystery that was still hidden, you were not the people of God. But now the mercy of God has been shed, and now Gentiles are partakers of the same covenant. Notice the aim of mercy in verse 10 points us back to verse 9. You've obtained mercy, you're the people of God, and the aim of that mercy is to make God's mercy known, who called you out of the darkness and now back into living in dark times, so that God's mercy would be known, His greatness would be displayed through your life, who were not a people but now a people, who had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy by the free sovereign grace of God, in order that you may be this people. Verse 11. This is what you need to do then. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. See again this morning, if you serve diverse lusts and pleasures, and you use people as a delivery vehicle for your desires and what pleases you, you can't declare God's marvelous light to them. You just use them. You're enslaved to your passions, or we go back under the flesh and we live that way. And so people are the vehicle for what we want. So we've got to use them. We use wife, husband, children, parents, workplace. Everything now is being used to be a servant to what I want out of life and what pleases me. And if you don't do it, then that's when I get bitter, angry, resentful, malice, all the things that are the works of the flesh, the Bible tells us. But if I can abstain from what? Fleshly lust. If I can abstain from serving my own lust and pleasures, then what can I do? I can shine this light and I can fulfill this calling to display the greatness of God among the people called out of darkness into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the way we abstain from fleshly lust, the way we abstain from serving our own lust and pleasures, is we find someone to serve who then so satisfies the spiritual soul that then we can be this kind of people. That's why Peter says in verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby, if you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. You drink from the word, you taste the grace of God from the word, and then you come to the living stone in verse 4. What does that give you power to do? Abstain from fleshly lust because of the preciousness of Jesus Christ found by drinking Him through the Word. That's the power. And now here's what we wanted to get to. To connect verse 9, this this purpose of grace. He's called you out of darkness by grace into His marvelous light. Now you're a people of mercy to do this very thing. What's your aim? Verse 12. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. Why? That whereas they, the Gentiles, unsaved ethnic groups, they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they are looking at and behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. What's the aim? The aim is the purpose of grace. The aim is the glory of the praise of God's grace and mercy lived out in our lives through the supply of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit would be seen by others and they would glorify God and come into the people group where mercy has been attained by the grace of God as He visits not just one color of people, not just Americans. He visits Gentiles. He visits ethnic groups. He visits those people that you walk by from Arab countries. How about that? You think about witnessing to an Arab? They're included. Not because they're Arab. And certainly not because they're Muslim. Because when they're embraced by the grace of God, they no longer stay Muslim. They become Christian. And so all the people groups. And so Paul now, in his personal defense of the grace of God, ends with the purpose of grace. In that, after revealing what that purpose is, he is an apostle to the Gentiles. And after seeing our purpose as a church, we are to have our conversation honest among the Gentiles so that in God's good visitation, they would glorify God. They would experience what we have had through our testimony, God using that for the purpose of conversion. What did we see the people do? Unto this word, they're tracking with Paul now, away with this fellow from the earth. What's your mindset tonight about people of other groups and other nations? You see, beloved, there's no difference between us. There's no difference. Perhaps God is bringing someone into your life now who's of another color, another nation, another people group. And if you don't have this mindset of the purpose of grace, that person may come right in and go right out. And God may use somebody else to bring them through conversion by word from a person who's experienced, tasted the grace of God and looks at that person and says, I was zealous toward God as you are this day. I was a rebel just like you. I was fully engulfed in sin just like you. I was enslaved to my own passions just like you. And it was the grace of God that rescued me from such a lifestyle. Let's pray.